B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, May 13th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Joe's found a new list for us to try to fill in. It's the top 25 video game movies. Plus, we'll sit down with Matt Edelman of Super League Gaming to talk about their new partnership with Capcom. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today by playing a little bit of catch-up from the weekend. Joining me to help break down this, probably not very important discussion.
It's a little important.
When you get right down to it, is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving that payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
All right. So, what was going on this weekend?
I was out of town.
You did? You went to the other side of the hand, right?
The other side of the state, so went out to Kalamazoo. Got her family out there.
Gotcha.
So we hung out, and she's got a nephew who's like 13, 14, who's actually become quite the nerd in a good way.
He's
Nice. Yeah, he's got like a big, you know, Magic the Gathering card collection.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, he's getting up there, finding his sort of game niche of choice.
Everyone has played at least one game of Magic, right?
Oh, I have decks.
The only thing that stopped me from playing more Magic or even Hearthstone is just how quickly they come up with new sets. I just don't have the money for it.
I totally get it. But like, even today, like, if someone was like, hey, I got this pre-con deck, you want to sit and play a game? I'd sit and play.
I keep four like good decks that I have somewhere and sort of treat it like a board game, right? If we want to sit down and play, all four of these decks are good.
Yeah, I've got a deck.
Literally, I've got a box of one of the recent sets sitting in my back room, and like Rob are like, hey, we should just draft that one. And I like, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. And he's getting to that point. So I'm digging that. Seeing him mature.
You said he's finding his gaming niche. What is it turning out to be?
It's funny because I see him wanting to play the games that all his friends are playing, the Apexes and the Fortnites and stuff like that.
God, anyone still playing Apex? That's shocking.
Yeah, I know, it's great. But I'm seeing him play a lot of, you know, more narrative-driven games.
Okay.
Playing with your friends is a little bit different than finding, like, what your niche is, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's weird because, like, I was too close to my brother in age to sort of track his kind of gaming maturity.
Evolution.
His evolution as a gamer, his tastes get refined.
Do you think, though, that he influenced what you checked out as a gamer?
Or, well, I'm the oldest of everybody, so it would be the other way around.
Oh, right. Okay, gotcha.
I know for a fact that we did, both my father and myself. I got a lot of my influence from my dad with stuff I liked gaming. But it's really cool seeing somebody kind of come into their own and find a niche that they like. So he wants to come out to Motor City Comic Con. It'll be his first con.
That's a good first con.
Yeah, and that's what I said, too. So
Yeah,
that's probably what I'll be doing next week.
What day are you looking at going?
Probably Saturday.
Saturday? I might be out there also on Saturday.
MCCC is this weekend?
It is.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, they got Tennant's going to be there. David Tennant.
The Purple Man.
Yep. Who else is going to be? George Takei is going
to
be there.
I know the gal who played Mantis is supposed to be out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
There's
a lot of folks, man.
They're hosting a new convention out in like in Lowell, like other side of the state, you know. It's like a hybrid Comic-Con and Renaissance Fair. Sarah and I are going to it later this month.
Okay. Interesting.
It's first year. It's the first. So obviously there's going to be, there's going to be issues and it's going to be whatever. But we're curious to check it out. That's an interesting idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So Joe, what'd you get up to this weekend?
Oh man. Apart from Mother's Day, we had our first time having her folks and my folks both over for Mother's Day. So it was the first like true intermingling of the parents meeting.
And that they came to your house?
They all came to our house. Yeah,
nice.
See, that's a good place for it to happen.
That's
a
sort of like neutral ground.
Yeah, that's
also sort of like a rite of passage to like host like holidays at your house.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was like, "Hey, so we're thinking about going to your aunt's." I'm like, "Actually,
come to my
I'm having Mother's Day."
Man, Norris. Like, okay.
And it was wild.
That would have been a great time to egg the house. I wish it would have been.
It would have been a solid time to egg the house. But yeah, no, so we had that going on. No bagpipe incidents over the weekend. I feel like that guy was like practicing for something because he hasn't played since.
Well, the Scottish Highland Games are sometime.
That's in May too. Isn't that Memorial Day weekend actually?
I feel like it is. Maybe he was
practicing for
that.
And then we started watching a new series to binge because we finished the last one that we'd been watching, and we started watching Dragon Ball, like 1985. Dragon Ball.
Oh, really?
Which
forgot how weird it was, didn't you?
That's a problematic series. When you go back,
boy, is it? Yeah. That is a perverse and weird series. I've seen way more of Goku's genitalia than I am happy about.
Oh, yeah.
Which, frankly, one viewing I wouldn't be too happy about.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Goku's naked
He
doesn't like clothes.
Now, that said, there is a moment early on where Oolong says to Goku, "What are you, some kind of alien?" And me and Robbie Fatsack just kind of looked at each other like, did Toriyama know even then? Like, I know he's supposed to be the Monkey King, and that's the joke, but... Right. Did he know even then? Because since then he's been called an alien again, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he knew about the Saiyan thing. Maybe he knew all along.
Really?
No.
Yeah. No.
No. Let me tell you something.
You can't honestly believe
Toriyama forgot that he had named Emperor Pilaf, because originally Emperor Pilaf had a different name in the manga, and he was called Emperor Soba in the manga, and they called him Pilaf in the show because Toriyama had literally forgotten that he'd already named him.
Well, there you go.
So, right, to be and this fair, is when he was younger.
To be fair, I've done that with characters in D&D.
Okay, well, when you are putting out multi-million-dollar properties, like, you know, with your D&D characters.
How much drugs do you think he was on, though?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because, like, he'd have been in the middle of making Dragon Ball and probably working on some art for Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably pretty busy.
Yeah, probably. So, probably. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got up to over the weekend.
So, I mean, I had a fairly subdued weekend. I played some Fallout, watched some of the older MCU movies.
Which one?
The first Iron Man movie.
Wow.
My internet went down for a while, and it just happens to be one of the things that I have on my hard drive.
I tried to put on Guardians of the Galaxy to watch on Blu-ray, and my PlayStation 4 won't play it. It'll play discs fine, but it won't take Blu-rays.
That's weird.
That is real weird.
Specifically, it won't run Blu-rays. Yeah, so I tried a bunch of Blu-rays. Really, none of them will play, but my FF12, my FF10, they ran fine.
I don't know that the PS4 is a Blu-ray player. I know the PS3 is, but I'm not sure that the PS4 is.
I think it is.
I have no idea, but
that's got to be it.
I've never tried,
because me and Katie went through the entire MCU, you know, in anticipation of Endgame, and we watched everything on the PS4.
Oh, that is
a Blu-ray. Okay.
Yeah, so for whatever reason, it's just decided it's not having Blu-rays anymore.
Huh? Maybe the reader.
Something. It's just weird that it would still take other discs fine.
Yeah, you know what? It could be also something in settings, because I know there's stuff in the settings specifically about
Blu-rays. I'll check. Thanks for that tip. I'll look into it.
I ended up, do you guys know Como's, the restaurant that's like right around the corner from work?
Yeah.
Well, I went there on Sunday.
How was it?
For Mother's Day.
Oh.
Besides cramp.
Is it still Como's?
No, it's very different. I mean, the menu's very, because I went to the old Como's quite a bit.
So, I mean, so did I, and then I found out it was basically, you know, cesspool.
Yeah.
Is that the burrito place we ate at, like, when we were new?
No. That's 44 Burrito.
Yeah, that place is great.
That place is great. No. Como's is Italian. Pizzas and stuff like that. They still do pizzas. I got their baked spaghetti, but they, like, baked it for too long.
Oh.
So it, like, ended up, ended up cutting the roof of my mouth a whole bunch. I didn't want to say anything during dinner.
I think if it cuts your mouth, you're allowed to say something. Like, believe me, I also don't like to complain to the waiter, but if your food cuts my mouth, that might be where I draw the line.
I mean, but
if you go Captain Crunch,
Captain Crunch.
Yeah, no.
I did not actually.
Here's the thing. I would wait a couple of weeks for them to kind of like work the kinks out, because they ran out of baked spaghetti
Shocking given that it's cutting the roof of people's mouths.
Well, no, they probably overcooked it, had to make more for the people who did complain, and next thing you know, you're out of baked spaghetti.
That's entirely possible. They also ran out of like Pinot Grigio too, which is a really weird thing to run out of on a Sunday.
No, it ain't.
Well, it is a weird thing to run out of, but not on Mother's Day.
Maybe you're right.
I'm building about they were going through a lot of Pinot.
It was also cramped. Their booths are not very comfortable either. Mm. They've got this weird, like, sort of like lean back.
Wow. So what was this, like a 2 out of 5 star review from Nate? Is that
say, not a ringing endorsement?
Yeah,
yeah,
I would wait for them for a couple of weeks to get their.
Okay, man, Gordon Ramsay, it sounds like, before much longer.
Yeah. They might need a little bit of help. But anyway, that was my weekend. Robbie, what about you?
So I had to drive home on Saturday. The majority of my day was spent either driving or just hanging out with my mom.
You gotta stop saying driving home. You live at home.
No,
you drove to your parents'
right,
home.
Sorry, had to.
No, I do it all. I now literally own a home, and also be like, hey, mom, I'm gonna be home there.
Well, but
I'm gonna come over to your house.
Here's the thing.
That never goes away because I haven't lived with my parents for like 5-6 years.
And you still consider it your hometown.
Yeah. Okay, so, that's fair. Yeah,
wherever your mom lives,
it's still home.
Now, the good news was, though, that my nephew's baseball game had actually been pushed back to 6. So I'm like,
I can't stay that long. I'm sorry, I can't
drive home. So nobody held that against me and didn't give me any guff about that. Other than that,
give you any what?
Any guff? Never heard that? Any guff? Don't give me no guff.
I've never heard that term.
Really?
It's a very white people.
It's a very 60s
don't
white
give me no
term.
Guff, young man.
Yeah. I don't need any of your guff.
Ah.
Yeah.
Proceed.
Yeah. That's like something an assistant principal would say to you.
Yeah, there you go.
If you were talking back.
There you go.
Got it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, thanks to the state of play where we got to see the new Monster Hunter expansion coming out, I have restarted Monster Hunter. I tried to jump into my old file, 113 hours, and I'm like, I remember where anything is, I remember what anything does. So then I'm like, I'm just going to play just like the intro bit, and next thing I know, I'm 30 hours deep, and I'm like, this is my new file.
Dude, just the... That is such a huge problem in Monster Hunter. Because I started my file back up, and I'm just like, my inventory is all over the place.
But here's the thing. Now that I remember, I could easily go back to that other account.
You don't want to, no.
But now I feel more attached to this one for some reason.
I'm like, I don't know where on the upgrade tree I am.
Easy enough to jump like back into for me.
That was, God.
But yeah, no.
You guys are making me want to pick up Monster Hunter.
Dude, if you're going to do it now, but yeah, that's what I did.
I'm
basically
telling you, do it
any free moment that I have.
If he's at level 30-ish, I'm not super beat.
30 hours in, I'm at like, I think, Hunter rank 4 or 5, I think.
Oh, okay.
I still need basically everything. So even if, you know, he's like, hey, I need help with this great Yagris, for example. Sure enough, I need that.
Oh, okay.
Because cool. I like to make like all of the armor sets and like all the weapons, because you never know when you might be able to mix and match it for something. Yeah.
All right, cool. No, just let me know, man, because I want to get you all your gear.
Yeah.
All right.
Expansion hit.
Well, we're going to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Are you playing Monster Hunter World in preparation for the new DLC coming out? Should I pick it up? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll welcome Matt Edelman back to the show. He'll tell us about Super League Gaming's new partnership with Capcom. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Joe's got a new list for us to try to fill in. It's the top 25 video game movies. And I swear to God, if Super Mario Brothers is on this list, I'm going to hurt you. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Video game movies have almost always been bad, but that doesn't mean that they've been flops. In fact, Joe's found a list of the top 25 video game movies of all time, according to what they grossed at the box office.
Yeah. I have a quick question for you. Is this okay. just adaptations, or does it include any video game adjacent movies such as Ready Player One or Jumanji?
No. This is video game adaptations.
Adaptations.
Got
okay.
it. And yes, this is according to the amount of money they made at the movies.
Uh-oh.
Not necessarily their profitability, because there are some movies on this list that lost mm-hmm. a lot of money despite doing
can,
okay the theater.
Can I request to go first to get the worst offender out of the way?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nate, then you can go first.
All right. Street Fighter.
Street Fighter coming in at number 23.
Woo! Just barely.
1994 Street Fighter made $33 million.
Yeah. I actually remember that it did halfway decent at the time.
Yep. Robbie.
My turn.
Oh, we're going backwards. Order. Okay, Norris. Norris, you're up.
I like this.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat coming in at number 6 on this list.
What?
1995's Mortal Kombat made $70 million.
Mortal Kombat did very well.
Wow.
Yeah. Robbie, over to you.
You want
to
know what did better? Angry Birds.
Coming in at number 2 on this list. The Angry Birds movie from 2016 made $107 million.
That hurts me in my very soul.
Prepare yourself when you go to see Detective Pikachu. I almost wanted to hang myself because one of the previews is Angry Birds 2.
No!
Oh my God.
No! Yeah. You're kidding.
I am not.
Horrible.
Nate, super back serious. Over to you.
Okay. I'm starting to blank on
wow, that was quick.
I know, right? It didn't take real long. I don't know.
Assassin's Creed coming in at number 11.
Yes.
2016's Assassin's Creed made $54 million.
That's $54 million more than it should have.
Agreed, actually.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Norris, over to you.
Oh, man, it is getting tough already. Resident Evil, the first one.
I know it's on here somewhere. One second. Sorry, there's a few of them. All right, Resident Evil 2002 comes in at number 20 on this list. It made $40 million. Should I just give you guys the Resident Evil ones?
Because there's like five on here. You probably just, you just gave it away.
Let's go through here. Resident Evil Afterlife 2010, number 8 on this list. It made $60 million. Resident Evil Apocalypse from 2004 made $51 million. It was number 12 on this list. Number 17 is Resident Evil Retribution from 2012, $42 million. And number 18 is Resident Evil Extinction from 2007, which also made $42 million. By the way, every one of those turned a profit. Not a one of those lost money.
I'm shocked.
I'm pretty sure this one lost money, and I'm going to go Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
At number 24 on this list.
There's one worse than it?
Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within from 2001 made $32 million, and I did make a special notation. That was versus a $137 million budget.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening live over at our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, which I'm going to actually grab our next movie title from.
All
Epic
right.
Lurker in our Twitch chat saying the Max Payne movie.
Ah, oh. Yes. Max Payne settling in at number 19.
Oh,
wow. 2008's Max Payne made $40 million,
actually.
That's
more
actually.
Than I would have guessed.
Yeah. No kidding.
Okay. Nora, so over
Rampage.
You. Rampage.
Oh,
Rampage.
That's what I was going to go
with.
That's
a good movie. Coming in at number 3,
oh.
Rampage.
Oh,
2018
okay.
made $99 million. It did very well.
Wow.
We still don't have number 1 off the list, by the way.
I'm going to go for the original Angelina Jolie-led Tomb Raider.
Mm. Lara Croft Tomb Raider from 2001. Number 1 on this list.
Aha.
At $131
now,
million.
What about the remake?
Sell.
Because in the same way...
Well,
because
there was a sequel and we had the reboot. Yeah.
So which one are you saying?
Either the sequel or the reboot.
Cradle of Life or the reboot.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
either of them.
Number 7 on this list is Lara Croft Cradle of Life from 2003.
Yeah.
It made $65 million. And number 10 is 2018's Tomb Raider reboot with $57 million.
Wow. How many do we have? I feel like
you guys are tearing through these.
We are. We're just beating this list up.
We still have a few to go, though, including one that's currently in theaters.
Lord.
Well, that's a gimme.
Well, I'm going to say Doom, even though it was terrible.
It's got the rock. 25. The very last one is 2005's Doom,
yes,
which despite losing like $20 million made $28 million in the theaters, which I cannot fathom that.
Ugh.
$28 million worth of people went to see Doom. That movie is atrocious.
Wow.
Norris, what do you got?
Detective Pikachu.
All right, there we go. Detective Pikachu. Coming in at number 9, 2019's Detective Pikachu, $58 million. And counting, because
that's just 1 week.
That's weekend
one week.
So yeah, this one's going to compete. Robbie,
all right. Well, I couldn't think of another one, so I'm going
to
take one from the chat too. From Nuka Dark Flux, who said Silent Hill.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
2006's Silent Hill comes in at 14 on this list. $46 million. I got to say, guys, you haven't missed one yet. You guys have been tearing through these.
It doesn't help that between Resident Evil and Tomb Raider, that's probably half the list.
I know, right? That's nearly half
so
the list.
So I'll give us some hints. We're still missing a shooting game on here. We're still missing a racing game on here. We're still missing an RPG on here.
I know the racing game.
Do you now?
Yep.
Interesting. Nate, over to you.
I think I have to tap out.
Just me and Norris.
All right,
now.
Norris, over to you.
Need for Speed.
Need for
Damn
Speed.
It.
Yes, we have a number 2014's Need for Speed comes in at number 16 on this list with $43 million.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. I think you passed. No. I think I know the RPG.
Oh, okay.
But you passed.
Yeah, for that round.
Okay.
We'll be back around you in a minute. Robbie's
all
first.
Right. I'm not going to take it from you, but I am going to try and guess something, which I don't know. I wouldn't put this on the list because its roots come from tabletop, not video games, but it has had video games. Is there a Dungeons & Dragons on there?
There is not a Dungeons & Dragons on here. Nate, over to you.
The World of Warcraft movie.
Ah, there we go. Warcraft from 2016, number 13 on this list, $47 million.
So all we're missing now is a shooter?
You've got a shooter. You've got an adventure title on here still.
Oh,
or an action-adventure title.
An action-adventure.
Yep. You've got something I'm shocked that Nate hasn't said on here.
I have no idea.
I think we need time to go through it.
All
yeah,
right.
You know what? Let's just finish it out.
Here's what we missed. Number 5, Pokemon the first movie.
Oh,
1998. $85 million.
That's a direct adaptation. I don't know if that counts. But okay. All right. We'll allow it.
All right. We also have Pokemon the movie 2000 also made this list from 1999. That's weird.
Pokemon.
We also have at number 4, Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time.
That's
$90 million.
I was trying to think of that. Yeah.
And lastly, we also have Hitman 2007, $39 million.
That was
Hitman. A movie. Timothy Olyphant.
I think
that's
those,
right.
I think those four are the only ones you guys missed. You guys killed this one.
All
good
right.
Job.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And make sure you visit our website, checkpointxp.com. Maybe one of our lists this week over at checkpointxp.com will be our own ranking of the top video game movies. But coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Matt Edelman of Super League Gaming. He'll tell us about their new exciting partnership with Capcom and how it translates translates to getting you more Street Fighter V action. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Make sure you check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Joining us now is Matt Edelman. He's the Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming. Matt, welcome to Checkpoint XP.
Thank you so much. Really glad to be here.
So, just to remind our listeners, can you give us some, just a quick overview of Super League Gaming and what you guys do?
Yeah, my pleasure. So, Super League Gaming has been around for about 3.5 years, and we are a leading community of amateur esports players. We create digital and physical events to give amateur players across a number of game titles, across multiple skill levels, any age, the ability to come together and play alongside peers who love the same games that they love, and to really have an experience around competitive gaming that feels like the pro experience that they are able to see at the pro esports level in events like, you know, the LCS or OWL level, etc.
So you guys have recently inked a major partnership with Capcom. I got to ask, how did that come about?
You know, we have terrific relationships with major publishers and developers of all of the big game titles. And that's, you know, based on having a strong team inside Super League that has been in the gaming industry in some cases for more than 20 years, and really positioning our brand and everything that we do as being designed to honor intellectual property and the value that publishers have created by building these games and these player bases over so many years with such significant investment. We're very deferential to what they need to achieve in order to continue to grow their businesses and do everything we can to help them achieve those goals. We happen to do some things that they don't typically do themselves, which is principally around activating local communities of players around a given game title who, through Super League, are able to experience that game title in a really fun way that's connected to a healthy spirit of competition and a sense of belonging with other players who share the same passion, and producing premium experiences for those players to participate in. Capcom recognized that, and we were really excited about being a participant in the fighting game community, and Street Fighter is, of course, one of the most venerable titles in that space.
So, you know, speaking about, you know, local communities and whatnot, Capcom has, you know, talked about expanding into amateur and also collegiate events this year. Is that something that Super League Gaming will be handling or is a part of?
We are a part of it. Really, I would put us in the amateur category more than I would put us in the collegiate category. This is really for our partnership with Capcom about having a connection to what's happening across, you know, the amateur landscape in local communities, and almost thinking of it the same way you might think of recreational sports in the offline sports world, in the traditional stick and ball sports. So whether it's younger gamers and it's activity that might happen at like a local YMCA, or it's older gamers and it might happen at a barcade, we are going to bring those experiences to those different age groups and different skill levels, really across as many communities as we think and Capcom agrees are exciting to activate within.
So Street Fighter represents Super League's first expansion into the fighting game community. How excited are you personally to be able to get involved with the FGC?
It's been a category that our whole team has been excited about. We have a number of members of Super League who are major fighting game players across a variety of titles. It is an amazing community. The passion, the camaraderie, in many ways, it's an exemplary community in gaming and esports because of how different fighting game players of different games interact, oftentimes, especially at the pro level, in singular events where you might have competitions running across multiple titles all in the same location and in the same tournament, and the fan bases all really mix beautifully. And you don't see that outside of the fighting game community all that often. You don't see multiple battle royale game titles all being played in the same event and the fans, you know, mixing and matching and hanging out together the way you do in the fighting game community. So it's just such a rich group of passionate players. It's ideally suited for what Super League brings to bear.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're talking with Matt Edelman. He's the Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming. And, you know, the FGC is typically a scene that's kind of underserved. How important is it in your eyes to do it justice? And what does that look like?
Well, you know, the FGC at the amateur level is very grassroots based. I mean, it is as grassroots as it comes, and there are local players in every, you know, community around the country who have taken it upon themselves to get friends together, to get groups of players together in really small numbers, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10, 15 players just to go play Street Fighter or another game and have fun being in the same place. We are planning to really take our cue from what's happening already at the grassroots level. We don't want to change what is working. We want to understand what makes those experiences exciting and appealing, and then build upon them and try to offer a little bit more fun, a little bit more excitement, maybe some prizing that, you know, we would have the wherewithal to include in the experience, adding content to the experience, both at the venue itself, but also to then celebrate what's happened at that local event. So we don't want to disrupt or alter the format in a way that is suddenly not exciting and not fun and not organically interesting to the players who are participating in these local events already. We want to understand them. We're working closely with Capcom and a number of Street Fighter players and experts to make sure we get it right. And then we just hope to build on it and make it a little bit better.
So the FGC is a very unique esports scene. It's got a lot of things that make it very exciting and fun, and also a lot of challenges. What do you think other esports could learn from the FGC esports scene?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit connected to what I said before. The strength and bonds within the FGC community, both within a given player base for a single title and then between players of multiple titles, are just so remarkable and enviable that you don't see in many other player bases for other games. That level of respect, the level of friendship that forms, it's almost like if I play Street Fighter, I know I'm going to have a fun time talking to a player of any other fighting game title, whereas if I am a LOL player, I may or may not have fun talking to a Dota player. That's the way that the communities seem to have developed over time. And I think other esports have the opportunity to sort of look at what's happening in the fighting game community and start to try to draw people together from multiple game titles to make the rising tide you know, sort of better for everybody. The fighting game community is really the only one that's done it, and I think there's lessons to be learned there.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Matt Edelman. He's the Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming. And Matt, I can't let you go without asking about the new partnership that you guys just inked with NetLevel, which is allowing you guys to bring esports experiences and viewing parties to movie theaters across the country. Can you kind of give us a rundown of what that experience is going to be like? And how transformative it's going to be for, you know, bringing esports to, you know, local communities across the country.
Sure, of course. I appreciate you asking about it. The original events produced by Super League when the company started were in movie theaters. In fact, Cinemark is one of our investors. When the company began, our first events were for Minecraft players. We then expanded into League of Legends, and our initial League of Legends events were also in movie theaters. When we expanded to Clash Royale, same thing. Our first events were in movie theaters. We've since expanded far beyond the movie theater footprint in partnerships with groups like Topgolf and with group that is a software platform that's well distributed in PC gaming centers. And we run events in places like Buffalo Wild Wings and Dave & Buster's. But the movie theater experience is still one of the best environments and experiences where your audio, video access and experiential elements are, you know, overpowering and wonderful, and gamers love them. And so with NetLevel, we have a chance to bring the same types of esports experiences we've been producing into additional auditoriums that are outside of the footprint we've been operating to date with the game titles I mentioned. And we also are thinking of ways that those experiences can be fun, not just around gameplay, but around bringing gamers together in a social experience, like a viewing party that might have some light gameplay elements or, you know, other experiential components, so that gamers in communities everywhere think of the movie theater as a great place to, again, kind of share the passion that they have for gaming, for a particular game title, for a particular esport, in this amazing audio visual, you know, environment.
Matt Edelman, Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming, has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Matt, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Matt for his time. For more info on Super League Gaming, check them out on Twitter over at Join Super League. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird at Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily: Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.